Hello, I'm Jane Huerta in Dodge City, Kansas for Radio Readers Summer 2026 Read, a series wherein we seize the opportunity to go on a bit about whichever books we'd like to recommend. I've just finished a collection of essays titled Out Here in the Out There, authored by Philip Hedrich, a Midwesterner growing up outside Chicago, later teaching for universities of Eastern Kansas. His essays spin not through argument but towards epiphany. Hedrich notes the incredulity of family and friends at his choosing to live out there in Emporia, a place they believe bereft of urban commerce and cuisine. In response, Hedrich describes being in the out there, where he writes, "The prairie brings you closer to the very pulse of the universe, where the stars of a night are too many to count and the calls of crickets, wolf, and mosquito make for a resonant chorus." Hedrich contrasts this organic out there with another kind of out there, the one filling with what he calls the signs of prosperity, neon lights of McDonald's, Golden Corral, Holiday Inn, Applebee's, and Walmart, lining our highways, byways, and main streets. Invoking Emerson, Thoreau, Cather, Stafford, and Heatmoon, Hedrich situates himself within an American literary tradition, the one that romanticizes and eulogizes the natural world. Hedrich is not without humor, though. In other essays, as a keynote, he recalls being a keynote for the Vista of Worlds Conference. He can't find parking due to a Sooners-Huskers playoff. "Don't they know who he is?" he wonders. In another, his in-laws aid his quest for the best green burrito available as he calculates the percentage of thousands of eateries listed in San Diego's directory he might have time to sample. For this, I can almost forgive and forget that for him, the Flint Hills form the western boundary of Kansas. Meanwhile, I've also been making my way through Brian Watson's Headed Into the Abyss, the story of our time and the future we'll face. Likely not for the lighthearted, Watson's arguments are provocative, if best taken in short doses, like needing to assuage being miffed by one's geographic region being overlooked. Watson's chapter on transportation is where I slogged back in. He notes, "Little is done to reduce congestion and delays on roadways, even in heavily populated areas. Our frustrations with gridlock are eased by our vehicles, enclosed in relative privacy with temperature control, comfortable seating, access to full social media and internet connectivity. We're comfortable, and this comfort makes us less likely to demand alternatives like efficient public transportation. Further, our vehicles, sensors, radar, and cameras, technologies that enable vehicles to brake and accelerate on their own, allow us to make use of screen time options, and as our reliance on navigation systems extends, we no longer need to look out to see where we are or where we are going. And yeah, folks, I know it's a bit of a slippery slope here. Eventually, we'll become so attuned to our screen time options, we don't care to look out. We'll have no interest or investment in the out there, whether cityscape or landscape, prairie or plains, coast or forest, not caring. We might no longer believe we need it." Philip Hedrich invites us to rejoice in this evanescent luminescence of the great out there. It is all around us. All we have to do is look.